every week. Do you know where your planets are? For instance, today the sun is in 10 degrees of Capricorn, and it's alongside Chiron, Neptune, and Mercury. Uranus and the North Node are in Aquarius. Mars is in Gemini. The moon is in Leo, along with Saturn and the South Node. And right down there in Sagittarius is Pluto, Venus, and Jupiter. If that doesn't make any sense to you or sounds almost right, well, just stay tuned, and we'll see if we can fill you in. I am a sidereal astrologer, and that means I look at the planets against the backdrop of the constellations, just like the astronomers and NASA and all the Vedic astrologers do. All right, this evening we have Sandra Strauss with us. I'll be telling you about her in just a minute. But Sandra is, she's a little different than my usual guests. My usual guests are other sidereal astrologers or people who have had, you know, they were tropical astrologers and they've gone sidereal, sometimes Vedic astrologers. Sandra has written a book on change. And, well, actually two books. And since I'm always talking about changes and people having, you know, changes to do in their life and what comes up, I thought it'd be nice to have someone who I guess is an expert on change. Sandra Strauss is a personal dynamics and well-being coach. Through her company, Dynamic Options, Inc. in Oakton, Virginia, she presents programs and coaches people on building positive and productive relationships at work and beyond. She also speaks and writes how to effectively navigate and sustain healthy well-being in our multitasking world and through transitions we all face, whether by choice or by chance. Sandy works with nonprofits, corporations, associations, and individuals. Her mission is to facilitate connection, revitalize passion, meaning, and purpose, and encourage winning choices for work, life, and well-being. Sandra is the author of several books and success tools, including Get Along with Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere, 8 Keys to Creating Endurance Connections, Enduring Connections with Customers, Coworkers, and Kids, filled with tips to ward off energy-draining dynamics and all the headaches, heartbreak, and heartburn that goes with them, Building a Successful Life, a Leadership Manual for Teens and Workforce Development, Charisma Cards, a collection of affirmations for maximizing magnetism, and her latest book, Dancing Through Life with Guts, Grace, and Gusto, features a collection of stories and strategies for maneuvering through them. She's appeared on hundreds of television and radio programs, featured regularly in many newspapers and magazines, and is a member of the National Speakers Association. Ms. Strauss is always talking about something that's fired up her passion. Since life is constantly changing and our need to adapt is constant, tonight she'll be sharing with us strategies for navigating through the dance of change. All right, Sandy, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here.
Dancing through a transition.
Yeah. Yes, and you are. You are. I should mention to everyone that I am Ms. Strauss's astrologer. So, yes, I know these things to be true. Tell me, God, where to get started
and,
with you?
If I might add, because you did my chart for the year, it's just been amazing how right on it was. So it's been very interesting, especially when you're going through transition. I would highly recommend doing that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. In transition, you know, and I like where you've mentioned some transitions, you know they're coming. You plan for them.
Right.
And even with the stress that's involved, it's good stuff. But then there's all those transitions that just kind of get thrown at you.
Right.
Here, let's talk about your book, Guts, Grace, and Gusto, the latest book. What was it? It's been out just over a year, I guess. And
right. It came out November of last year. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, it's available on Amazon.
It's actually available online at the Barnes & Noble and really all over. But,
okay.
Yes, it's easy to get, but it was really inspired. I actually co-wrote it with Allie Bowling and Gail Hahn, and the three of us are all professional speakers on personal development, various aspects of personal development. And it was, because of us coming together that we really recognized that personal development, of course, is all about change. It's all about the transitions that we experience. And so what we really wanted to do was to create a book with a collection of strategies. Because, you know, when life slams into us as it can, or we choose it to change because we don't like our life exactly as it is, that we need to have some guidance, and that's what the book really does provide. Is it's a collection not only of strategies but also a lot of stories, and our focus in the book is really two women, but of course we all face transitions and change throughout life.
Well, we do. I've read the book, and I love the stories. They make it real.
Mm-hmm.
They're human. They're absolutely human. It's not like they're abstract people, you know, doing stuff. And believe me, I love, you know, when you have a good time for a novel. You know,
right.
You go through that, and you can kind of live vicariously. But these are real people, real experiences, real solutions. Is there one in particular you'd like to talk about?
Well, there's so many that's involved, but I think one of them that I'd like to talk about is really Allie's own story. Allie is, she was caring for both, she had the responsibilities of both her mother and her mother-in-law, who both had dementia. So she was dealing with that, doing her career, you know, all the multitasking that goes with that. Then she was diagnosed, when she started getting, you know, some symptoms of things, diagnosed with a brain tumor. So here she is dealing with the caregiving, dealing with, you know, career, and now she's got her own situation that she's got to deal with. And so, you know, that, then she went through surgery and then coming out as a speaker, and she became single-sided deaf. So then she had to figure out, okay, now that this has happened, now what am I going to do? And I think what her story and many others that are in the book, it's like the situation happened. We have to then assess, what are we going to do now? It wasn't expected, or how are we going to manage life with this new reality? And so it's like how, you know, how she kind of put her life back together after that. And I think the thing that we have to recognize is that life sometimes really does spin, and it's spinning sometimes, and we don't know. We say take a step at a time, but you do not sometimes know where to even put that foot because it is spinning so fast, and so many different, you know, things are happening so fast. So that is one, and then another one is also it happens to do with a woman's dealing with her son's mental illness. And because, of course, mental illness is now getting a lot of attention after what happened at Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
And she actually does live in Virginia and is totally aware of the laws that really aren't supportive of people. There are so many people now that are dealing with mental health issues. And, of course, I've had to deal with this as my husband has a form of dementia, and I can talk about that in a little bit. But I've seen how difficult these things are. So it's, you know, when you're facing that, and you never could have imagined that these things could be happening, and then how do you deal with this just having to figure out things. And it is sometimes, it's really having to live in the moment when you're dealing in chaos and crisis. And that's not the way that most of us like to live. We like to have a plan and have that plan go as we designed it. But I think that's what, when we deal with a transition point, it is oftentimes not anything that we would have imagined, oftentimes not anything that we are welcoming into our life. But it is in our life, and it is ours to deal with.
That is, and I just want to point out to the audience, if they were listening, you know, the problems that, you know, you tackle in your book, these are big-time problems.
Right.
These are not just, I don't have any new clothes to wear to the party, you know, kind of thing. These are not, for heaven's sakes, my child's just talking back to me because they've reached those teenage years.
Right.
These are women who have had, you know, serious problems and dealt with them beautifully. I mean, I remember when I was first reading, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'll never complain again.
Well, these are some very serious. I mean, there's some that are a little lighter and some of dealing with, but we are dealing with issues having to do with disability, having to do with either the woman's own disability or the disability of a loved one. Dealing with divorce, dealing with disease, dealing with discrimination, there's a lot of D's here.
A lot of D's that come through it.
What it demonstrates is it is not a straight and narrow path. It is a process. And I think when we are in a transition, we've got to recognize that we are in a process. It's a journey. It is not easy to go through and to keep walking on that path. And we have to constantly come up with new solutions. About 2 hours ago, I received a phone call from a very dear friend whose husband is now in the hospital, and all these issues are percolating, and so we never know when something's going to totally change our lives. But it's knowing that there are ways to get through it and to be sustained by it, and that is really what when we describe some of these or the stories are provided, we give then some strategies that help us through. And actually readers have contacted us and said, that really helped me to get through because I saw that, these different people are modeling so many of us now are dealing with care issues of loved ones. And that is not easy when, if you remember the sandwich generation and you're, running to the drugstore to get your mom's prescriptions and then you're going off to soccer practice, all that. It's really very difficult. So how have some people put that together that can serve as, some guidelines then for us?
And it's truly amazing, book for that. And you're right, more and more people, this generation that's coming up, they have it essentially on both ends.
Right.
They waited to have children, so they had children later, so they have younger children.
Right.
But their parents, who did not wait, to have children, are, entering that stage where they do need a little extra help.
Right. Well, just today I was in the assisted living facility because that's where my husband now resides, and here was two young women who were checking in their father, who was just 70, and he was a doctor, and now they're dealing with all the the care issues and all these things that they all of a sudden they're working, they've got all these things, and now they've got to deal with all this other unexpected and of course the emotional toll that it can also take in dealing with this. It's not only just the physical, but it's then the other levels that we have to also pay attention to. And if we don't, that can have some serious implications as well.
No, yes, it can. I want to inject a little astrology here, because some, you hear astrologers talk often about like Saturn returns that happen at, 28 to 30, and then, 58 to 60, big things. But then and it's a time of responsibility. And some people simply do not make it past those ages.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the responsibility is such, or they didn't do what they should have lived up to do. But people have these experiences at other times, and they're like, holy mackerel, I'm nowhere near that age. What is this about? Mm-hmm. And this could easily be Saturn going into someone's first house. Let me see, where was it with you this past year that showed up so strongly? You are sidereally a Gemini rising, which is no surprise for someone of such a prolific writer as yourself and speaker. You had Saturn going into the third house, neighborhood issues. Oh, and you have, of course, it is coming up to Saturn return shortly as you close in on that big birthday. But,
hey,
I've got one coming up this year, too, like that, I was fascinated. I had no idea, and shame on me for not, this Building a Successful Life, a Leadership Manual for Teens and Workforce Development.
Right.
Tell me how those two connect.
Well, it's actually my passion has always been in personal development. And, as a teen, I was just always reading about things. I was always reading nonfiction. That manual actually came from my experience in working in first with adults inmates. I was working, I volunteered, and I was facilitating a support group of women. And through that, I saw the need. I was doing it a year, and I recognized the need that they really need some basics in terms of beliefs and attitudes and choices and values, and to take a look at what do you want in your life, and are you creating that, and what can you do now that, you know, that you've ended up, you know, having jail time, what can you do now? And so what was very interesting about this is I then put together with one of my friends who's a sociologist, we put together a program called Patterns for Success. And through that, through the evaluation that we got from the women, and this one woman in particular said to me, she said, if I had known this, I would not be here today. Take this out, and you know, it should be in all jails, but really where you need to start is with the teens. And so that was really my call to action. And I got busy, and it turned out then I ended up getting a contract developing this, and and then I ended up doing some work with juvenile offenders. So it was really all of what I've loved to, you know, and it was actually my turning point of being a volunteer in jail that I switched hats. I switched my career path because I really learned. I could just feel the energy. I love speaking and doing programs and writing about this. And so that was it was sort of my gift. I was you know, there, and I said, we got to do something about this. So that's the manual is really available to youth organizations, to schools, to workforce development. It's really geared for teens on up, and it gives some their units on the specific areas of really helping. A lot of self-assessment, a lot of interactive activities, and really helps people to assess what do they want in their lives, what do they want in terms of their jobs, what do they want in terms of their relationships, what do they want in terms of their health, because these are things that oftentimes we don't stop to think about, and, you know, when in that particular forum, you've got time to think about it and time to really do some real self-analysis. So that is what that came from them.
Oh, that's just terrific, because, well, now it seems to me, particularly after the No Child Gets Left Behind package got passed a few years ago,
right,
that the focus seems to be more just on the grade, you know, what
right.
are you doing right now, the grade, and not, you know, their future and their goals and
ideas. Well,
and
I think that's where education is really missing the boat, because we're not really looking at, you know, what do you like to do? This is a very important question, because, you know, a lot of people don't think about, what do I really like to do? You know, you get into school and you got to take these classes, and that's important too. But it's really looking at, where can I just get lost in my energy? And it's like, and that's really an important question. When I do workshops, it's something that I ask people, when you go into a bookstore, what area do you tend to gravitate to? What did you like to do as a child? Because a lot of that says a lot of what we should be doing or would enjoy doing. The book Dancing Through Life is about finding our joy, finding that bliss, finding, you know, how can we create a career based on what we really love to do? How can we, you know, oftentimes we end up doing things. You know, we look back, how did I get here? And we have to say, but what I really like to do is this. And so it's getting in tune. That's one of our hardcore guidelines, is really listening to your heart and feeding your spirit. Because when you are listening to the truth of who you are and what you love to do and your gifts, the gifts that you have, and putting those into expression, you're going to find that joy. Because and that's important. And so, yes, we need better roadmaps, I think, in education to help guide kids so that they're involved in activities that they're nurtured by, and that gives them some career path where they will show up at work and really enjoy what they're doing.
I'd like to remind our listeners, if they're interested in any of Sandy's books, they can go to GutsGraceAndGusto.com. That's GutsGraceAndGusto.com, or SandraStrauss.com, and that's S-A-N-D-R-A, strauss.com. Back to, you had just mentioned workshops, actually. Where, how would somebody say, gee, you know, this I'd love to have this woman, you know, come talk to this group where we're a group of people that are dealing, you know, cancer survivors, or
right.
we've got, you know, children that are at risk. How do people get hold of you? And you
just
know,
go on either of those two sites, sandrastrauss.com. I've got my telephone number on there and then my email. So you can contact me through both of those, sandy@sandrastrauss.com or sandy@deathgraceandgusto.com.
Okay, and what would they be expecting? Do you know what? Is it an afternoon? Is it a workshop? Is it evening?
I can do basically what I do keynotes in terms of dealing with, you know, transitions and change, and also I do, you know, communication workshops, which can be a training. I do, you know, working more with other groups. So it's I really customize the program based on what they're looking for, and be happy to discuss that.
No, that's wonderful. The first one here, get along with anyone, anytime, anywhere.
Right.
Sounds. I'm an old Dale Carnegie girl, so this is right up my alley. Eight keys to creating enduring connections with customers, coworkers, even kids.
Right.
That is, I tell you what, a lot of, I guess, our nation's, you know, non-productivity comes along. And I have seen this over the years when I worked for other people and when I had employees, when I had stores and, you know, we had up to 30 employees at one time, with people that just don't get along.
Right.
And they will waste energy
right.
and time, and it comes down to money because they're griping at each other.
Absolutely. There's a real benefit of people getting along, and because, I mean, for instance, Southwest Airlines, they know that. They have a people department. They hire people based on interpersonal skills and their ability to communicate well. It's considered a soft, good interpersonal skills is considered a soft skill per se. It's really a very profitable thing for corporations, and this is what I also speak on. I go into corporations and I present programs on good communication because of the impact of what it does. It is draining. If people have poor communication, it causes loss in so many ways. First of all, you lose your sense of well-being. You're stressed out. It's bottom line, it's a lot of productivity issues, people, absenteeism, high turnover, a lot of implications when people are not getting along. And likewise, when you flip that and people are getting along, what do you see? You have greater productivity. People love to show up. They give, you know, they really show up to shine. And when people show up to shine, that really boosts the bottom line, and that says good things. So it is important to corporations, customer service. We all know now with our technology and all the voice prompts and everything.
Oh, don't get me started. You know?
But the get along is really about how do we build good connections with one another, and that same. One of our hardcore in our Guts, Grace, and Gusto book, one of the guidelines is to really build a supportive network, nourishing relationships, because those nourishing relationships are going to serve you well in both your personal and professional lives. And basically, there's a number of ways to do that, but one of the things that gets to the heart of good communication, and that represents an acronym, H-E-A-R-T, is H is to be heard. People oftentimes don't hear one another. Their feelings are dissed, and so we want to extend respect and hear others. E is to encourage people. It's been said that encouragement is oxygen for the soul. It really breathes life into that connection. A is appreciation, to extend appreciation to others. And so often, this is something that is missing. We forget to extend appreciation and to let people know how much they are valued. And when corporations, and you know, it's good whether you're talking at work or beyond, Whenever someone notices something that you've done and they say, gosh, thank you so much, for whether it's taking out the trash at home or whether it's, you know, staying late and working on the proposal and doing what needs to be done. So appreciation means so much. In fact, if people appreciated more at work, there would be so fewer problems. And a lot of times people are leaving their job. They have a study from Department of Labor in a research that was done several years ago that about half the people that were surveyed were leaving their jobs because they did not feel appreciated.
Yeah, that's so fascinating.
So that powerful.
Yeah, that is absolutely fascinating. I don't think a generation ago that would have been unheard of. You know,
right.
You got a job, you got a steady paycheck, you
right.
stay there, and you come home, and you're miserable on a stick.
Right.
But you are, you know, that's what you do.
Right. So that's changing. It's
yeah.
changing. Now, of course, obviously, you know, we have a whole different type of workforce. So,
yeah.
But back to the getting to the heart, there's two other things that are really important in all relationships. And, of course, R represents respect. And extending respect, and we have another R word that's really surfaced a lot, and that is rudeness in the workplace.
Ah.
And again, a lot of research that's showing that majority of people have either experienced it personally or have witnessed it, not only by their colleagues but also their bosses. And you know, dealing with rudeness is a really difficult issue, and there's a lot of forms that takes, verbal insults, sarcasm, you know, putting down people, all that, and then of course just some of the different rules. R can also stand for those rules. When we have different rules, different philosophies or value systems, and other people don't honor them, we see that as rudeness. Or now we got the cell phone, you know, the cell phone in, you know, different public places. It's sort of a form of rudeness in many, in people overhearing very personal conversations.
Well, it is. I mean, it's the oddest thing in the world. You know, you're saying that someone's just talking out loud to themselves and you're thinking, oh, are they insane or is that Bluetooth? You know?
I know. And then to finalize getting to the heart, then the T is for both trust and to feel treasured. And when I do programs, I have a banner that I pull out, and the banner basically says, this is what we all show up with, an invisible sign every day at work, and it's show and tell me that you value who I am and what I contribute. And again, if we're not doing that, if we're not getting that, boy, there's going to be a transition because people typically will not tolerate a situation that becomes that intolerable. And so, and we have to find meaning in what we do. And it doesn't matter what we're doing, as long as we're finding value, that we're appreciated and that we're really valued for making that contribution, whether we're working in the mailroom, whether we're taking, you know, tickets, whatever it is that we're doing our job and we're showing up and that we know what a difference that's making.
That does make sense. Let me ask here, because you do so much. You know, you truly are. You're an amazing woman, and you know, you've written all these things and you're active and you've done all this. I know your two daughters, which you've done an excellent job with. I mean, you know, they show it right there that you literally, you know, walk your talk. They look like, you know, girls that know who they are and, you know, and they're secure, you know, absolutely secure, and that's a wonderful thing.
Well, that was done, a parenting was very conscious on my part. I mean, my girls are now in their 20s, but again, that came from my desire to have good communication and that was very critical. So again, a lot of the life that we create must be done with intention. And this is part of the get along. And of course, all of life we're going to have conflict. We're going to, you know, and I think that's another surprise for people. people is like, gosh, I thought we were all supposed to just be getting along all the time, and, you know, what's this issue? What's this conflict? And I think when we recognize and embrace that life, you know, our best friends, we're going to have conflict with, our partners, we're going to have conflict with, our kids, we're going to... But when we have that conflict, how are we going to manage it and manage it so that, again, we get back to that heart that I was talking about, to be heard, to encourage, to appreciate, to respect, to trust, and to treasure. And when we keep that present, that is when, good relationships are built. And so that is, that's very important. Because it is a dance. The communication is a dance. Maneuvering through all these different things where we are looking at a dance. And so what we have to hold on to and really know what's our value system. So no matter what it is that you're going through, when you hang on to what you value and you're true to that, you're going to get through that. And I think that's a very important part of dealing with transitions. Actually, the dance, if I can kind of go over some of this, because the dance, again, represents an acronym, the D-A-N-C-E, and I've got some things that I'd like to share with your listeners because, again, it's some of these strategies that kind of if we hang on to them, we can get through them. And the D is like dealing with priorities. When we're going through a change, and something's really, you know, we're swirling in this chaos or this crisis that we're dealing with, we really have to deal with our priorities. And sometimes we've got more responsibilities than we know what to do with, and we really have to sort them out. And we have to focus on you know, what really needs your attention and what can wait. And this is where, this is, again, one of the hardcore guidelines is let go of perfection. And this is so hard for so many of us because we all want to do it right. We want to get it right all the time. We want to be 100%. But when we are going through difficult times, we just have to let go of that. And I actually, I have a blog on Guts, Grace, and Gusto, and I wrote about that this holiday season. Of course, this has been very, very much a year of transition for me and upheaval. And here was the holidays coming, and typically I would love to create this magic and have the, you know, the home-baked cookies and the lights up and the decoration, and it didn't happen this year. So my daughter comes back from Virginia Tech, and, you know, she made the cookies, and she put up the lights, and, you know, and I just had to say, you know, it's not my year to do that and to delegate. D might also be to delegate what you don't need to do, but others are there to help, and I think that also is very important. And that gets me to the A part, is to accept support and to ask. And again, this is something that is difficult, oftentimes very difficult for women to do, is to ask for help. That when life is swirling, and you know, oftentimes people say, well, what can I do? And if you don't know what you can do, all they can do is oftentimes, what I found is the brownie factor. When people don't know what to do, they tend to make brownies or bring
That's
you.
That's true. They bring you brownies. They bring you food, you know.
So not that that's bad, but what I did, and actually a woman gave me this guidance, and she said, you know, Sandy, this is your time. You need to be clear on what you need to get done. And so you do delegate, say, okay, if you've offered, you know, can you run down and get my mom's prescription and take it over to her? Can you go to the grocery store and get this for the kids? Can you do, you know, so it's really, and then there was, you know, then I had, when my husband was ill and unable to do the things that he was having to do, then I had to do them, like cutting the grass. But then I had a whole team of what I called the Lawn Rangers that showed up for a year, and they just took care of all the, you know, the landscape needs, which was wonderful. But it is accepting support. It's not showing any weakness. In fact, it is showing your strength, that you're saying, you know, this is a tough time. I can't do it all, and I really appreciate your help. And, you know, then there'll be your turn to help others. But when it is your turn and life is spinning, you got to accept and ask for that support. And then nurturing your own spirit. This is critical. And this was one of my biggest lessons through this process. when dealing with so many things of my husband's illness, and then I'm dealing with things that I really didn't want to do, like all the paperwork and all the details and sorting through insurance forms and calling, all these things that were just, that I just didn't like. I love my joyous writing and speaking and, you know, doing that type of thing, and I really had to knuckle down and day by day deal with any number of things that I didn't want to have to do. I just don't like that. But so I had to nurture my spirit, and I have to find slices of joy. And this is critical when you're going through a time of change, and that is to be in the moment when you are like you're connecting with someone, whether it's in an elevator or you're really in that moment. You're maybe having an exchange with an adorable baby, and you're commenting to the mother, or you're looking out the window. Now, I don't know, that last night the moon was really gorgeous. I don't know what it
was
today.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
But it's like just embracing the beauty of that's around us, and especially nature. To me, again, I was really having to spend a lot of time and, you know, sitting in front of the table going through, you know, all these papers. But if I would go and take a walk in the woods, or if I would say, okay, I'm not going to call up a friend because that gives me joy. And so it's really remembering when you're going through difficult times and a transition time, it's your time to also nurture your spirit and to do what you love to do. And this might be, it's not self-absorption. It's really keeping your own energy up, because our energy is going to really get drained unless we take care of our own needs. So that's really important. And actually, the C is really caring for your own needs. And women oftentimes tend to be the caretakers, be the caregivers, and they're thinking about others more than their own needs. And that's important, but you can't rob your own spirit. And so self-care is really critical in terms of transition times, because that's going to tap. It's almost like the emergency oxygen that drops down. It's like you got to take your oxygen. You've got to take and feed your needs, and then you've got to give, and then you're more able to give.
And then the E
in the dance is exploring options for facing your new set of challenges, because there's going to be a whole new life that may evolve, again, whole new circumstances that have arisen. And so what do you need to do? And when I was faced with this, I had to really look at, you know, putting together a whole new financial plan. I had to check in with financial advisors. Sometimes you have to look at a care plan. Okay, now, you know, whether you're dealing with your, you know, parents or dealing with a spouse or what do I have to do for the care of someone else? And then also, you know, looking at some very basic elements, which is preferably before the unexpected hits. But that is really doing some preliminary work on, because the unexpected will, you know, can and will happen. And that's really take action before it happens. Update your legal documents. Get your insurance and, you know, really review this, because, you know, we oftentimes think it's not going to happen. One of the best investments of my time was sitting down with a long-term care planner. And this just happened about a year and a half or so before my husband got slammed with this. And now, you know, fortunately, you know, it's being covered. But, you know, transitions are going to happen. We don't know how they're going to happen. But at least if we can prepare as much in advance for them, it can help to reduce our stress.
Absolutely, it can. I want to mention, you're talking about the, people looking at their paperwork, and I just want to mention that Mercury is getting ready to go retrograde again, and it is an excellent time to review what you've got. So from January 29th to February 19th, do just what Sandy just suggested. Go over all that paperwork with a fine-tooth comb. What kind of insurance do you have? Where are you in your life? What kind of things do you need to invest in or move your investments around? And you don't have to do them right then, but it is an excellent time to go back and look at all that. I was thinking when you were talking about the oxygen coming down, there's a reason. There is that very large sign that says, you know, if you're with a child, put your oxygen mask on first,
right,
then help your child. Mm-hmm. Because it is just what you said. You don't have it to give. You'll pass out. Then you're not any good to anyone,
mm-hmm.
Much less yourself. And women have a hard time just saying, okay, I am going to nurture myself right now, and I'm not being lazy, and I'm not being a bad mother. I'm just, you know, taking care of myself.
And that is, it's really part of the letting go of perfection. And this is the time when you're going through transitions to just allow. You just have to allow. And you have to tell yourself sometimes, it's like, you know, I'm good enough right now. You know, I'm letting go any need to do this perfectly. And it's to feel good when you actually can do that, because I think that's sometimes a struggle. You know, I love to entertain and I wasn't certainly not doing as much as I wanted to, but that again, it's my joy. But I mean, I actually, and this was a big step for me in many ways, but it's like, I just threw different paper plates out. They didn't match. There was no color. So I said, this is a big thing of just letting go. I mean, it's a little thing, but it really shows how sometimes we get caught up in doing things the way that we always, you know, have had it done, and the expectations of what people think, you know. And we don't have to, you know, for entertaining. I mean, it's like, just go and, you know, pick up some carry out and invite your friends over. That's what's important, is the connecting, not that, you know, you're creating this show necessarily. You know, and that things don't always have to be done in the same way. And we really have to say, look at what we're saying yes to. And this is not the time, you know, when you're going through transitions, to say, you know, I'm going to volunteer, I'm going to keep this commitment. You really have to almost look at saying, you know what, I can't do this. I have to let this go. I can't volunteer. I can't step up to the plate. I can't, you know. And again, that's not the way that we might necessarily do it. But when we're going through, we just have to, okay, I just have to look at my reserves of energy, time, and where I'm going to invest it. And then the most important thing, I think, is just giving yourself a break, just lightening up on yourself, just letting the facades go if you got them, and just, you know, just laugh more. And this, again, it's getting back to the joy. If we can focus on finding the laughter, finding the joy while we're going through some difficult, dark times, it's going to really lighten our way. And you know, it's not easy to do when things aren't looking so bright. But if we can remember that's going to help us. Put on music, sing. I mean, I sing a lot, not well, but that vibration of just belting out a song really helps to eliminate stress and it elevates your mood, and that's a lot of what joy is just elevating a mood. So, you know, singing a happy song can just make a difference and switch that energy.
I'd like to remind everyone that I'm Debs, the Horoscope Lady, and we're talking with Sandra Strauss this evening. Her latest book is Dancing with Guts, Grace, and Gusto. You can find that at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, of course. You can go to GutsGraceAndGusto.com and SandraStrauss.com for more information on her lecture series and her books and her tips in life. She's got a great blog on Guts, Grace, and Gusto that's updated on a regular basis. Before you get off of here, I want to ask about the charisma cards.
Oh, yes.
I, of course, am a big affirmations person.
Right.
I know there's, you know, people are funny. Some people, of course, are not familiar with what an affirmation is. Some people think that it's like Dorothy of Oz, you know, I say it three times, click my heels, and it'll happen. And other people are just affirmation junkies, you know.
Right.
And but nothing's working for them, you know, because it's like, all right. So talk about your cards and how you use affirmations, please.
Well, the charisma cards are really about building good connections and building a positive mindset within ourselves. So it's like I express enthusiasm, and so on the back of the one side of the card it says that. These are like, you know, regular card types. And then in the back it will have how do you do that? What's some wisdom? I extend respect to people? You know, how do we extend replay? So it's some very basic information. But I tell you, these are very useful tools. I always like table topics, especially, you know, sitting around with family. It's like, okay, how would this, what's the difference if I show up to shine? What difference does that make to me wherever I am? So it's helping to, again, letting go. I let go of perfection. I recognize myself and have compassion for myself. It's these things that we just have to remind ourselves, because so often we do take ourselves so seriously. We beat ourselves up so often, I think, on issues that that we really shouldn't. I mean, we all make mistakes. We hate to make them. But what we want to do is really focus on all these wonderful qualities that we have within ourselves. And I think that's also, something that sometimes we forget, that we all have these gifts and talents. That's our purpose. And that is a lot of what I talk about when I do programs. It is our purpose to put our gifts into expression, put those gifts and talents. And wherever we are, and to recognize that we all have them. And if people do not know what their gifts and talents are, it's really important to go on that search, and have people say, hey, what am I good at? A lot of people don't give themselves credit because it's right in their front of their nose, you know.
Well, it's true. They take it for granted because they are good at it.
Well, and they think, yeah, because I think all people, some people's gift is the fact that they are wonderful organizers. And they may not see that as a gift, but boy, is that a gift to someone who has no clue how to put things together. So it's not just about, you know, musical talent and things that are obvious, but people, ability to get along, ability to build good relationships. I mean, those are all skill sets that need to be put into expression.
That's it. I want to ask, just tying this up here, we're almost out of time. How, you're obviously, someone who has, I don't want to say made a career. I guess you have. You've made good use of what was thrown at you, and then what you've seen also, with helping people through transitions.
Right.
So you've got all these skills. But you will still, one more tool that you do use is astrology.
Mm-hmm.
How has that worked for you as far as it's like, okay, I've got this set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a transition. What is my next step?
Well, I think it was real useful. You did my chart back in April. And what I found very valuable is, again, looking for the hope, looking for the light. It really has been very interesting to track this because I never had my chart done before. And to really see that this, this was a really good time to move forward. And I really hear your voice telling, and I'm reminded because I do listen to the CD every month. I'm listening, okay, this is what I need to be focused on. And it's like, this is what I have to do. Okay, get busy because this is, you got this window of time. and so I'm constantly reminded of that. And it was truly one of the best investments that I could have made was doing that because I've seen where, first of all, why this happened, what it's made me look at, and my role in pulling myself from this very difficult situation, to move forward from. So doing the chart, really was, and it was very interesting how it all came about, but, really put me more squarely on the path so that I'm, okay, I understand this. Because I do understand the connections. I wish I, knew a lot more about astrology. But I do understand the connections of how it is really helping me to move forward and to stay focused on purpose. Because that is my purpose, is to know what's mine to do. And, of course, timing is everything. And that's a lot of what I think the chart shows you as well.
That, yes, timing is everything. That's one of our favorite sayings. I want to thank our guest this evening, Sandra Strauss, And I'd like to remind everyone they can go to GutsGraceAndGusto.com or SandraStrauss.com to find out more information about her programs and all the things she's written.
And if I can just add this also, they can also get a free chapter of Guts, Grace, and Gusto when they go on there. So, and
okay.
There's 50 ways to gustomize your life.
Oh, I love it. Oh, what fun. I remember that chapter. Yeah. Which is a great one. Where was I? Okay, there was my brain. And she writes a blog on Guts, Grace, and Gusto also, so it's worth checking out that website every once in a while to see what she's written recently. Let me see. We've got a couple minutes left here. Just want to mention to everyone that Mars is finally going direct at the end of next week. Men will start acting normal again, which is nice. Things will start moving, in a forward direction, which, again, will be kind of nice. We won't be stymied. Mercury is going retrograde on Thursday. So if you've got paperwork to do, next Thursday. So if you have paperwork to do, things that have to happen, taxes to be turned in, I would do it earlier in this week rather than later. And again, just once again, thank you so much, Sandy, for being on this evening. And I will talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye now.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. BBS listeners, I would invite you also to, if you enjoy what you hear tonight or one of the other host programs, please purchase from those of us who sell and help keep BBS on the air. You can also make donations directly to BBS Radio by going on and hitting the donate button. If you'd like to purchase my book or any of my services, you can go to mybirthchart.com or searchbythestars.com, as well, of course, Amazon. And I do a free weekly sidereal horoscope that's updated every Friday on mybirthchart.com. Check out yourself as the sidereals see it. See where your sun sign actually is. And Valentine's Day will be coming up in a couple weeks. And we'll be talking about that and what gifts to get your sweetie. And, again, that can be based on Gift Giving by the Stars, which is my latest book. All right. Thanks so much, everyone, and have a great evening. Bye now.